The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone. We've got another action-packed hour to talk about Bears football with you, Zach Zaidman, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And let's not waste any time. Joining us now on the program is the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. And I guess let's start out with some of the big moves that you've made in the last week and a half, including getting your coordinators in place. How did you go about the process of bringing
these? It's been a good time. We're trying to get this thing going with the coaches and just really focusing in on getting good people that know how to coach football. And so that's been the biggest challenge. And so far, it's been working out pretty well.
Matt, take us through what you like about each guy and why they're right for what you're trying to build here.
Well, you know, first of all, obviously when I went through the process here, one of the biggest hires for me and making sure things could work out the right way and go through it and do it the right way is taking care of the defensive side of the ball with Coach Fangio. And so, you know, what a successful defense last year that he ran, and those guys did such a great job. So that was important to just kind of sit down with him, get to meet him as a person and listen to his philosophy, kind of explain my philosophy, see if it works. And it did. We had a great conversation. You know, I just have a world of respect for Coach and really excited for that part of it. Mark Helfrich, you know, here's a guy where, you know, he's been in the college world, and you know the it's a little bit different than in this league. But I was really intrigued by the stuff that they do out there. I was intrigued talking to Mark, just some of our philosophies, and him obviously knowing what we do offensively, and being able to kind of get to a point to where we can mesh some things together and see how it works. So it's been a really neat transition for him. It's been great for me kind of learning more about him and what they do and what they did at Oregon and his philosophy and his career. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then, you know, Chris Tabor, of course, special teams coordinator, has been a guy that I've had a relationship to previously, but have had a lot of good friends and coaches and colleagues say such great things about him as a coach and as a person. And so the dynamics of having those three guys, they were all, you know, really number one on my board throughout. And to be able to get all three of those guys is really just an awesome feeling. And everyone's just so excited.
Hey, Coach, this is Tom there. I'm a former offensive lineman with the Bears. I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, but I do have a question about the quarterback position because I'm really intrigued about all the success you had in the Arena League. So what coaching points can come from an Arena League quarterback to the NFL? Because it seems like that's the one position there'd be a lot of things that could translate from the thinking process to timing to the different looks you're getting in terms of field in front of you. What message can come from the Arena League quarterback to an NFL quarterback?
Sure, yeah. So I think the biggest thing is really the anticipation. In that league, the field's so much smaller, so you have to be able to anticipate and make those throws in tight windows. And so just knowing where to go with the football, understanding the dynamics of the different routes that guys are running. And then you're throwing the ball, you know, 40, 50 times a game. And so there's a lot of chances for mistakes. And so if there are mistakes, how do you bounce back from them? So, and then, of course, I think a little bit of the red zone, too. You know, you get down there in the red zone and there's a lot of guys in that small area. So it really, there's some things that translate to it, but I would say number one, really for a quarterback position, is that anticipation part of the game.
Hey, Coach, Jim Miller here. Good to talk to you again. And
how
I just
want
to I'm doing great. Well, good. I just want to piggyback off what Tom's saying. And it's great because you have played that position and probably have learned a lot at that position. But, you know, what was it when you head on and you start coaching with Andy Reid or great guys like Brad Childress and said, you know, that's a good point. I wish I knew that earlier in my playing career and how you can really help out a young Mitchell Trubisky to maybe look at some things a little bit different in terms of some good coaching points?
Well, just having him understand really, honestly, how to be a quarterback during the season, you know, and there's so many parts of that that go into it. So whether it's the beginning of training camp, whether it's during the regular season, what you're doing in the classroom, outside of the classroom, understanding the whys of what to get to. Here's two guys that you just mentioned in Coach Reed and Brad Childress that have seen a lot of different quarterbacks come through, and there's a lot of different mentalities and different characteristics that these guys have. And so how do you balance those guys? So obviously knowing Mitch and knowing how he is as a person and his DNA for the little bit of time that I knew him from the combine last year in our sit down, you know, it's really intriguing to know that you have a guy here. Here's a guy that's just ready to be really molded into what you want him to be. So there's so many different aspects of that quarterback position. But one of the biggest parts to me really starts behind the scenes when no one sees it, and that's in the classroom. How do you watch tape? What are you watching? Why are you watching it? And then how are you going to translate that into OTAs? And what are you going to get better at? Setting goals. How are you going to take coaching, criticism, and then taking that into training camp? And this is going to be a long process. This isn't going to happen overnight. But when you have a guy that's willing to be coachable and you have a staff that's wanting to get the best out of this guy, it's really something for all of us to look forward to. So there's going to be a lot that goes into it. But those are two key ingredients that you need, and we have that. And that's the best part about it all.
Visiting with new Bears head coach Matt Nagy here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The preparation, obviously, is the most important part. But on game day, can you give fans an idea of what kind of offense you expect to have eventually when everything is clicking and going right for you?
Sure. Yeah, I think the biggest thing, number one, is just understanding that, again, it's going to take some time here early on, just these guys understanding the intricacies of this offense. But in big picture, what we want to do is we want to be an explosive offense that has moving parts, that has some creativity to it. Yet, like I said before, it's calculated. It makes sense. There's a reason behind what we're doing. And then we want to take our guys on offense, and we want to be able to really use their strengths. So find out what the strength is of Howard. You know, what can he do best? You know, where are these guys at, and what do they do? And now let's mold them, and let's put them in spots to excel in that part. If they have a weakness, let's stay away from whatever that weakness is. And so as we go here as a staff, offensively, we're going to have to just really hone in on what those are. We'll try to correct those as much as we can in practice and put in the extra work to build and strengthen their weaknesses. But whatever their strengths are, let's use it. Let's not shy away from that. Let's get out there on the field and let's dictate what we do on offense to that defense. And you know, it's not going to happen every play, but we're going to try to make it happen every play.
Hey, Coach, speaking of defense a little bit, during your press conference, and I've always been interested in this too, is, you know, back in the 80s when I was playing football, every defensive coordinator was a four-man coach or a 3-4 coach. And now you talk about how it's morphed into such a hybrid system that a defense is going to play a front that fits your game plan best. Is there ever going to be a day that a defensive coordinator is going to be able to hire and he's not necessarily going to be identified by the number front he plays? It's more of how he's able to morph against the offense opponents he's playing?
Yeah, that could happen. Again, you know, and that's one of the intriguing parts of this league is now these guys, just like we do on offense, you have these flavors. Okay, you have the West Coast offense, you have some of the RPOs, you do some different things. Well, you know, these coordinators are going to have their styles too that they have. And I think the biggest thing is really when it comes down to it is when you're on first and second down and you're in base defense per se, and there's a chance of it being a run or a pass, there's, you know, that's where you get into that 3-4-4-3 deal. But what's neat to me and seeing is the mentalities of these defensive coordinators when you get to third down, you know, and what's happening now is there's this little flavor on third down, and there's this flavor of this drop eight. So when you get into this third and one, third and two, third and three, third and four, these coordinators are trying to, you know, put the spin on and have this extra guy in the pass routes and basically challenging coordinators to run the ball. So that's a little different. And other times you'll see there's a coordinator on third in that area that wants to just storm the castle and bring everybody. So that's kind of the chess match that goes on. But I would say where you see the biggest difference in philosophy of defensive coordinators is really what happens on third down, and then obviously, of course, in the red zone as well.
Well, Coach, a lot of things happening at once, as you mentioned, getting your staff together. I thought it was pretty neat when we talked to Ryan Pace last week. He said, you know, on the way back to Chicago, we were already talking about the Bears roster. Here you just bring up Jordan Howard and maybe the pieces to the puzzle for the vision that you have on offense. And in terms of that schedule, that timetable, how do you get through all those breakdowns with here and now you got the Reese's Senior Bowl just around the corner and then it'll be the Combine and so and so. But to get to understand what you know and currently have on your roster, maybe just the timetable for evaluations is my question.
So for us, we're in a mad scramble right now, and it's pretty neat because you get in here and you get rolling, and we're getting into the for the offensive side, going through exactly that, trying to figure out, okay, what are the guys on offense, what do they do well, where do we need to upgrade, where do we need to go with that. But at the same time, we need to remember that with the guys that we have, I'm talking staff wise, there's a lot of guys that were not with me last year in Kansas City. So some of the things we're going to be doing, and a lot of the things that we're going to be doing, you know, these guys can go ahead and put themselves in the same category as Mitch Trubisky. So as far as in the rest of this offense is learning it. So that's a challenge, but that's why we're here. And so it's been really neat just kind of going through some of the stuff with the guys, and they're going to have questions, and, hey, why do we call it this? Why do we call it that? Or, hey, what does this mean? What does that mean? And so time is of the essence right now. You got the Senior Bowl coming up. You know, you got different activity. You got the Combine that's going to be here before you know it. So for us, just being able to use our time as best as we can to learn who the players are on our team right now, what is this offense going to be, and how are we going to learn that? And then what's our plan going forward when we get to OTAs and these different phases taken in the training camp? So we brought a lot of good guys in here that are going to have a lot of good ideas, and we just need to, you know, hone it all together and just get grinding, get after it.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy, our guest here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And let's get to that a little bit specifically in regards to the different offensive minds, because – as you mentioned, you're the head coach and you're calling the plays from an offensive standpoint, but you bring in a bright offensive mind in Mark Helfrich. You're still looking to bring in a quarterback's coach. Can you take us through the dynamics of all those three positions and how that's going to make Mitchell Trubisky better in terms of what the role is for everybody?
For us, it's a point to where I think it's just to be able to have different minds of people that have had success wherever they're at. It doesn't matter what league they're in. We all have had some type of success in doing what we're doing offensively. And so there's different ideas. And the last thing that I think that people would tell you coming from my end is being able to be stubborn enough to not listen to others. I think I just got done talking about players that have weaknesses. Well, for me, any weakness that I have as a play caller, any weakness that I have as a play designer, I want to strengthen. So how can we make that better? Well, one of the ways to do that is to grab somebody like Mark Helfrich who knows the things in this college world inside out, and it's things that we've branched into as an offense and we've grown with. And so does that mean we're going to go out there and be his style of offense? Not necessarily, but what it does mean is that he's going to help me learn that part of the game. Again, these other guys on staff, they all have different backgrounds. I mean, you look at a guy like Coach Hiestand and what he has done before in the NFL, then goes to college, has a dominant offensive line in college, one of the best in college football, and to bring him back and back into the NFL with the ideas that he has. To me, it's about being able to be an offense that's hybrid, that has different things, and it keeps the defense guessing. I love that part of it. I love creativity. I love moving guys around, and to be able to use all these guys together, all of us together, is going to be fun.
Coach, from all the different systems you've been in offensively speaking, how do you develop the terminology? Because the terminology in offenses right now is so confusing and just so long-winded. But how quickly can you get the terminology into the head of Mitchell Trubisky so he starts learning the way that you call plays?
Well, what you need to do is you need to understand that you know, in Kansas City, when this past year, what you guys saw was year five, right? That was year five for us. We say that was 505. We're going to be back to 101, and that's okay. And a lot of times the beauty of that is that you're able to really hone in, even as a coach. Sometimes you forget the little intricacies of the offense and the details of the routes, the timing of the footwork, and the timing of the offensive tackles with their different sets that they have. So that's just it's an exciting part for us, is that I think you just got to be smart with not just Mitchell, but the whole entire offense. There's so much stuff that's involved in this. Just learning how to call personnel. You know, some people will go about using the number system, and they'll use the digit world with personnel. Others will use names and groupings. So that's the simple part. Getting into the conversions and what goes on this route versus cover two versus cover three versus man. There's so many things that go into it. So we have to make sure as a staff, and I have to make sure as this staff learns, that we just really keep it simple. We get good at the fundamentals, and then as we perfect that part of the game, now we can add on. So there'll be some ups and downs. That's okay though. But that's my job, and that's our job to make sure that there's not a lot of that.
I love how you put that, Coach. 101 compared to 505, because you've been able to build it out with Alex Smith and the veteran players there in Kansas City. And let me just touch on that. As you do the base install, I mean, how is it presented? Do you give, in terms of the 101 offense, is it the whole enchilada? Do you piecemeal it to the players? Because like you said, it's not just about Mitchell. Everybody else has got to understand it as well, along with the coaches.
Yeah, you need to. And so... There's West Coast staples within this offense. There's stuff that we can just talk, that I can talk about in my sleep, that I know inside out. Those are the staples that these guys are going to get. When it's funny how this works, but it's a crazy deal. But usually when you lose, or you go on a losing streak, or usually when you're struggling offensively, and I think it's the same way from talking to defensive coordinators, if they're struggling, what do you do when you're in a struggle? Well, you normally go back to your bread and butter. What's the stuff that you know inside out, and you keep it simple? It's that whole less is more deal. So that's where we're going to start. And these guys don't know how to run 22Z in, the staple play in the West Coast offense. Well, we're going to detail how to run that play versus every coverage versus press versus free access, the timing, the steps, the three hitch throw, anticipatory throw to the back of the helmet. And that's just one play. So this is going to take time, and we got to understand that and be patient as a staff. But as long as we do that, and we have a method to the madness of teaching it, but yet still being able to keep some creativity and some, I like to call, fun plays in there, we'll be okay. We just can't overdo it.
Matt, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Get back to work. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, there is. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you,
Coach. Take care.
All right,
you
thanks,
got it.
Coach.
Matt Nagy, the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, spending some time with us. A lot of things that we learned during that interview we'll discuss next. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. We just had a real comprehensive interview with the new head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, and I want to pick both of your brains. As the former player in you, because you're not just listening to it, Tom and Jim, as analysts. You're also listening to it as you would a player sitting in a meeting room listening to a new head coach. What resonates with you, Tom, when you hear Matt Nagy talk about his philosophies, especially on the offensive side of the ball?
To me, it says how well every detail of every single play needs to be explained. And he talked about when you call one pass play and you have cover one, cover two, cover three, man-to-man, all that. And years ago, and with all due respect to Mark Trestman and the way he left here, he said that if you wanted to describe and design a play, it could take him an entire day going over every single defense and every single position of every single play. And that's one thing that resonates with me with Coach Nagy said that you have to go through every single nuance of every single play in order to get it explained correctly. And it's such a time-consuming job. And that's the thing about it is, why do these coaches spend 16, 17 hours in their offices? Because initially when they're installing an offense, the attention to details that you have to play to every single position is so different that it is a time-consuming job. So I like the fact that he explained how extensive of an explanation is going to be needed to Mitchell Trubisky to run every play successfully, starting at ground one and moving your way up.
Jim, what stood out to you?
Well, I think like anything else, here he's breaking down the play 22ZN, and it does. It has to be installed, you know, with a lot of detail. You know, and here he's already brought up the points. Hey, we've got Mark Helfrich coming in. We've got Highstand coming as the offensive line coach. Mike Fury coming as the wide receiver coach. Kevin Gilbride Jr. as the tight ends coach. And they all have got to learn it. They've got to learn, hey, when we were out here, you know, Mark Helfrich might say, hey, we did this at Oregon. Well, how do you streamline it all to make it learnable and presentable to the players? I'll give you a case in point. How about the play of the Minnesota Vikings, right? Pat Shurmur, he's got a West Coast offense. He's an Andy Reid guy. That play call was Buffalo right, 7 heaven, right? That scored the touchdown to Stephon Diggs. He goes, we call that play every week. It's been in every week. We work on it every week in practice. It's one of their basic plays because it's a situational play where you got two guys who've got outbreaking routes in the 7 route, which is a post corner to Stephon Diggs. It came down to that basic play that won them the divisional round of the playoffs. And it has to be practice to perfection where everybody knows it. So those are the challenges. I think he, you know, just listen to him. I think he's well-versed and understands it greatly and has a great background as a player and a great background with some great coaching mentors in Andy Reid, Brad Childress, and obviously has learned quite a bit about football and how he, you know, wants his vision to be or his offense to be for the Chicago Bears.
You know, and this is the first time where, you know, you're an offensive coach, you're an offensive coordinator, an offensive position coach, and you kind of stay on the offensive side of the football. I think this is, you know, when you become a head coach, you kind of have to extend yourself a little bit. You have to learn the philosophical beliefs of your defensive coordinator, understand how he's going to, what front he's going to put up against a certain offensive front. So I think that's going to be interesting too in this path that Coach Nagy's going to take. You know, there's some first time, you know, dipping your toe in the water there, not only concerned with the offensive side of the ball, you have to have concern with the defensive structure and the special team philosophy.
But one of the great things that the Bears were able to do by bringing back Vic Fangio,
yes,
and this is where you can kind of compare it to what Sean McVay did with the Rams, being able to get a former head coach in Wade Phillips and one of the most respected defensive minds in the game. And really, Doug Peterson, too, when you consider what he did in Philadelphia, because Jim Schwartz was running that defense. You can concentrate on the things you know. And you feel as though you have a guy on the other side of the ball. And special teams, too, with Chris Tabor. That's
but you know
thing.
What amazes me about this year going forward, Jim, and especially in this division? You know, the Bears aren't the only ones that have coaching changes going on their staff. They're the first ones probably to complete it, to have structure in place. Because, you know, you're still making hirings in Green Bay and in Detroit. And Minnesota's going to lose some personnel there when Shurmur gets hired. This is a really interesting year in terms of the coaching staffs for this division. Because as much turnover as there been with the Bears, it's not going to be as much as some teams is when you think of Vic Fangio and his staff in place, Jim.
Well, you're right. I mean, think of that alone. I mean, because Wade Phillips obviously had to install his terminology when he went to the Rams. Jim Schwartz now has been with Philadelphia a couple of years. So, you know, it's not like he had to present all new material this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. So you got to believe the Bears have the upper hand with Vic Fangio returning. A lot of those defensive players are going to understand, you know, his terminology, what he wants to, you know, what he wants to execute it and how he wants it executed. And I think we've seen it. They've gone to a top 10 defense when you look at Vic Fangio. So now it's getting the offensive side of the ball up to snuff to coincide with what the Bears are doing defensively. And sounds like Nagy is all over it and how he wants it to go.
And real quick, before we go to break, see, the thing that stands out to me is Matt Nagy was preaching patience. It's not all going to happen immediately, but yet there's a lot of pressure in this league to do it immediately, especially in light of what you saw year one with Sean McVay with Los Angeles and what he did with the Rams. And it was year two for the Eagles with Doug Peterson and what they were able to do. How do you balance that?
Well, look at those quick fixes. You know, here we talk. Look at the jump from Carson Wentz, right? And there was a couple of quick fixes. What did they have to do? They needed a quick fix at receiver. They signed Alshon Jeffrey to add to the players that they have, and I think that's going to be a similar approach to what Matt Nagy has for the Chicago Bears. There are some quick fixes, but it's about that quarterback and the jump that he's going to make.
What's a realistic jump for Mitchell Trubisky in year two? We'll discuss next with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us 312-644-6767. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Escape winter and win an all-inclusive trip for two. Relax with your favorite Chicago Bears in Punta Cana. Enter Da Bears Da Beach Sweepstakes, brought to you by Apple Vacations at ChicagoBears.com for your chance to win. Zach Zabin, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer with you for the entire hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I guess I'll start with Jim on this one, because we heard the new head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, earlier on the program talk about how the biggest thing for Mitchell Trubisky right now is an understanding of how to watch tape, how to work, how to understand the offense, why the Bears are doing the things they're doing from an offensive standpoint, all that kind of stuff behind the scenes, so that when you actually take the field for all the offseason workouts, there's a meaning behind it. He's now in year two, and we've heard Tom Thayer say this, that you only get a chance to be young in the NFL once. So that time is over, Jim, for Mitchell Trubisky. What's realistic in terms of the ascension from year one to year two?
Oh, I think for any player, it's huge. You know, that's your biggest growth as a player. He's gotten on the field. He's gotten his feet wet. He's seen a lot of new things in terms of defenses that he wasn't presented in college at North Carolina in terms of blitzes and all that. And, you know, Coach Nagy talked about it, that this isn't a complete overhaul. Right, you have to understand the offense that Mitchell was just in. Right, think about Adam Gase when he came over from Denver, was the offensive coordinator, and then that same offense was passed over to Dow Loggins. What is it? It's a hybrid offense that is from New England and what Josh McDaniels was coaching and bringing over from New England, and a West Coast offense. So when Coach Nagy said on the interview or in the interview with us, you and Tom, that there are base principles that carry over, so this isn't going to be all completely new for Mitchell Trubisky. So when he says a principle like ZN, 22ZN, that's probably something that is already in the Bears offense, because that's a West Coast play, or X slant spacing. So it's not all going to be new for Mitchell. These are concepts that he's already been coached in terms of some of the base principles of a West Coast offense and what Coach Nagy wants to accomplish. And certainly there's going to be different coaching points, because Coach Nagy is going to present, say, there hasn't been a defense that's presented to Mitchell Trubisky and says, hey, here's how you want to attack this defense. And now it's year two, and he's going to dive into defenses more and why you want to. We talked about the answers, why you want to do this. Here's the weakness of cover two. Here's the weakness of cover three. Hey, here's the weakness of blitz zero and how we want to attack it as an offense. And that's kind of the growth of a quarterback. Your first year, you're learning your offense. All right, there will be principles that are carried over for year two for Mitchell Trubisky. Now year two, you focus more on defenses, how to attack them. Certainly the coaching points that Coach Nagy is going to get across to Mitchell Trubisky from that standpoint. Then year three, you kind of put it all together. So I personally expect a big jump from Mitchell Trubisky in year two, and I'm sure he expects one too. And he's looking forward to that challenge.
But, Jim, what will the expectations of the Bears fans be? Because, you know, yeah, this is year two that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be in the NFL, but let's reverse it, because it's going to be year one in this terminology. Mitchell Trubisky might have proved to himself what an open window of opportunity is for him to throw a ball, the little nuances about the game itself. But I just, to me, it's all about the understanding the terminology so well that you're knowing it, you're not thinking about it. And so that I just hope that all this, the playbook, the dictionary of terminology that they're going to use for this new offense, is put into the hands of Mitchell Trubisky as soon as it possibly can. Or is this something that with the new offensive coordinator and the new coaches and stuff, they're still developing the language that is going to accommodate this offense.
Yeah, there's certainly going to be new things and tags on the play calls that are going to be new to Mitchell, and you know, whether it's a new formation and how it's called and those. But again, I think there is going to be a lot of carryover because there was West Coast principles in the Bears offense. If anything, I think Mitchell's been somewhat handcuffed. You know, and I bring it up all the time. You couldn't even present three wide receivers till, you know, almost more than halfway through the season. So if anything, the Bears offense can probably open up, be more explosive. Again, those can be quick fixes when you're talking about the receiver position. And I would think that Coach Nagy knows that as well, that certain areas, here are the quick fixes. This is what we have to maybe work on a little bit harder. Maybe it's a different area that they're trying to focus on, i.e. tight end. I mentioned it's got to be a tight end-driven offense when you think of the history of that offense. This goes back to Russ Francis of the San Francisco 49ers and Jones and all the great tight ends that they have had. And then think about how that carried to Green Bay. Think of guys like Mark Chimura and the great tight ends that they've had there, or in Philadelphia where Andy Reid now moves it there, and L.J. Smith. And then you fast forward to Kansas City and what they do with Travis Kelce. And I would think the Bears, that's an area that they want to grow in the offense. He drafted a young tight end last year from Ashland. We'll see how he can grow. Can he be the answer for that position? And I'm sure that's what they're interested in finding out.
This week on Inside the Bears, new Bears head coach Matt Nagy sits down with Jeff Joniak, and Spice Adams digs through Tariq Cohen's locker. You'll never guess what he finds. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com. or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. All right, so Jim, I heard you say that there's going to be a lot that's similar to what Mitchell Trubisky learned in year one in terms of the West Coast principles. What's different?
I think, again, it's how those other coaches, if they infuse any of their ideas into it. You know, Mark Helfrich is called plays. You know, and even Matt acknowledged that, hey, there's going to be some ideas that I like of Coach Helfrich. That's why he hired him. You know, or Mike Fury, and how, you know, hey, this is where I've been, and, you know, in my history of playing receiver, hey, here's a great play call, and this is how we attack this defense. And it sounds like Matt is open to that. But again, how do you streamline it and put it into the terminology that's being presented to the players? That, I think, is probably the one challenge. You know, here he mentioned 22ZN. When we had John Shoup as our OC, we didn't use West Coast pass protections. Okay, so 22 is a six-man protection, but we called it 62, i.e. six-man protection. You know, so it's how you call it, what is the most likable and learnable way that they all agree on presenting it to the players. And I think that's really, when I talk about streamlining an offense, that's really going to be their challenge, how they streamline it. But the principles are there of what are already existing of what Matt Nagy talked about earlier.
You know, with the similarities to the Kansas City offense, I think one thing you know here is a coaching staff that's come to the Bears. And the first thing that he brought up was Jordan Howard. You know, when you know that you have a solid running back, and Kansas City really didn't know what their running game was going to be able to present this year to them. And they do have the tight end and Deion Sims Ashland.
Adam Shaheen
and Daniel Brown. They do have talent at the tight end position. Then you have Tariq Cohen, a lot like Tariq Hill there in Kansas City. So I think when you're trying to evolve the Bears offense of the future, you see a lot of similarities in the moving pieces that they've demonstrated in Kansas City.
Now, here's what I see. I see a guy that comes in, and everyone that you talk to with the Chiefs will tell you that Matt Nagy was instrumental in adding some of the nuances where the Chiefs just surprised and stunned the NFL with that offensive explosion at the beginning of the year. They hit a lull in the middle, and then once Nagy started calling plays at the end, they went back to being explosive again. And then you have Helfrich, who worked with Mariota when he was at Oregon. So we often hear the term, the words RPO, right? The letters RPO, it's run, pass, option. What does that mean when you consider what Mitchell Trubisky brings to the field?
He's done that at North Carolina. Certainly those principles were introduced because you've got an athletic quarterback and Alex Smith, and obviously Mariota has been in those run, pass options as well. And it really, it's kind of there are kind of four plays built into one. Okay, say even when Gary Croton was the OC for the Chicago Bears, he brought a lot of that stuff from Louisiana, Lafayette, or Louisiana Tech, where he came from. And you think about that. So really, there was kind of four plays beat or that is in one play. All right, I'll give you an example. We used to call a tight and right check with me. All right, tight and right is a 4-by-1. So think about it. It's an exotic formation where you got four receivers out there to the right, one receiver to the backside. So I had an option. I would read the guys in the box. I could call draw play. Let's say they've only got five guys in the box. Okay, and I could say, Van Gogh, because I'm reading the guys in the box. That would be quarterback draw because we've got five blockers to block five defenders. All right, now let's say they put six men in the box. Oh, well, I don't want to run Van Gogh. They've got one more defender than what we can block. So how about if I signal a slant route to Marcus Robinson out there to the left? Okay, I see the corner is outside or off coverage, and I know that slant route is going to be an easy completion where we can get minimum 5 to 6 yards. Well, let's say the corner's rolled up. I don't want to take the slant route. Well, let's look out to my four receivers to the right. Hey, guys, let's run block. What block is, all the receivers, I'm going to throw to the guy. They're in a star formation, so you got three receivers up in front, and the running back is behind those three receivers. What do you think block means? I'm going to go up underneath the center, Olin Krutz, Seth Hutt, and I'm going to throw that football right to the running back, square in his chest, and those guys are going to block in front of him. Or I could call Hank out of that. So there are four plays in that one play. So if I said tight right check with me, I got four different options. They can't be right. However they line up defensively, we're going to win just by their alignment and what they present.
You know, one thing quick, if you go back and you look at the first series of the Kansas City-Tennessee game in which they lost in the playoffs, I know that. When you talk about a RPO run-pass option, it's a handoff or a pass. It's not the quarterback running the ball each time he's making that evaluation. Because if you go look at that first series, play 8, play 9, and play 13, they're run-pass options where the quarterback took advantage of coverage opportunities. So it's not like he's going to develop Mitchell Trubisky into a running quarterback. It's going to be the options behind the line of scrimmage to either run it to Jordan Howard or throw it downfield.
Right, you're not putting your quarterback in a position to get drilled every single time.
Correct.
There are very few quarterbacks that can survive an NFL season. Cam Newton comes to mind. Other than that, I can't think of
I mean, as long as you're 6'5", 260, yeah, like gym size.
Yeah, well...
Jim was just born in an era too late.
Yeah, he was country strong back in the day. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and I want to talk a little bit about special teams because I feel like that's an aspect of the team that has gotten significantly better with the hire that the Bears made in terms of the coordinator position. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest Bears news, photos, and videos delivered straight to your mobile device. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app presented by Verizon. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin. It's Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy. So I feel like one of the areas where the Bears have been probably at their weakest over the last 5 years has been on special teams. They've not been able to use that phase to propel them to the kind of excellence that we were used to seeing during the Lovie Smith era when Dave Tobe was his special teams coordinator. And if you can't get Dave Tobe, Tom, I'm not exaggerating here. The next best thing is the guy that they hired in Chris Tabor, who comes over from Cleveland. I remember we used to see him every single year when the Bears used to play the Browns in the preseason finale. And to survive as many different administrations as he survived in Cleveland, different owners, different GMs, different coaches, that tells you about the respect that this guy has garnered around the National Football
League. Right, but, you know, I think one of the most unique signs of a quality special teams coach is creativity. And those are some of the things that we got to grow and become accustomed to with Dave Tobe and his staff and then with Chris Tabor as his assistant. And now you've been able to sit there and watch the development of Chris Tabor as a head special teams coach with the teams he's been in. You see the same results from it. I know that when you're talking about Cleveland, you're talking about an 0-16 team, but the special teams don't factor in there in wins and losses as much as the poor offense and defensive play have. So I think it's exciting to bring Chris Tabor back in the division, understand some of the weapons he has as returners and a guy like Patrick O'Donnell, and to go out there and really find a kicker that's going to help this football team. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but I think they're in a really good place bringing in Chris Tabor here as the special teams coordinator, because one thing they did about the old regime is the kick and punt returns that killed the Bears at the most important times that decided the outcome of games, that I don't think that will happen going forward.
You know, Jim, to me, it comes down to this. Before you win, you have to put yourself in a position where you don't lose. And I think, obviously, that was an issue on special teams over the last few years, and that's something that you know will change based on the coordinator that they brought in.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, they're pretty solid in that area. I think everybody likes what they've seen from Tariq Cohen as a returner and what he's done early in his Bears career. So maybe that's something that Chris Tabor can expand. You look at Pat O'Donnell. I think he's been a solid punter for the Chicago Bears. And yeah, we'll see where it goes from the kicking side of it from that standpoint. But I think there are areas that, you know, are pretty solid for the Chicago Bears. And now Chris Tabor wants to build that out. Is really his challenge moving forward.
You're gonna have to get better punting out of Patrick O'Donnell, because when we sat there every day out of training camp, he was having a training camp like I haven't seen a punter have around here in 10, 12, 15 years, however long you want to keep that time. And then it seemed like some portion from the middle point of the year until the end of the year, he wasn't having those banging punts that
right.
were time decided or there was no return attached to him. And so I do think that Patrick himself is going to have to be a better punter than he was throughout the season.
I think they need continuity in terms of the operation, and that means same long snapper, yeah. same yeah. punter, same kicker, because they didn't really have that from the get-go. They lost their long snapper at the beginning of the year, and they had to make switches there. They were running through kickers all throughout
the year. You see how it factored out in the playoff games this past week, how the special team plays affected every outcome of the games.
You know, the other thing that stands out is something that Jim said earlier, and you did too, Tom, about you know, there's only so much improvement that Mitchell Trubisky can make, and it's great that we now kind of have a better idea of what kind of offense the Bears are going to run based on who the head coach is and the assistants that he's brought in. But ultimately, there has to be some more players added to the mix, especially at the receiver position. Ryan Pace admitted that at the end of the year in his press conference. So, Jim, when you look at the offense that the Bears are going to run, what kind of a receiver? Because you can't just throw anybody in there. There's a certain kind of receiver you're looking for to help make this offense explosive.
Yeah, it's like anything else. Yeah, I think you want explosive players. I mean, that's been the history of a West Coast offense, and who's been more explosive than the Kansas City Chiefs? They had one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL this past season. Or even say Carson Wentz, because you're talking about RPOs or what Nick Foles did, for the Philadelphia Eagles that past game. All they were doing with Jay Ajayi in the backfield, it was say it's a trips right, let's go stretch six, X slant spacing. And all Nick Foles was doing was he's putting the ball in Ajayi. You know, I gave you an empty set of a run pass option. All they were doing is a six man where they do the spread and it's faking a stretch six. And all Nick Foles is doing is eyeing the weak side linebacker. If the weak side linebacker buzzes out, he's hitting that slant route to who? It was Alshon Jeffrey. And all that was is a West Coast principle. It was stretch six, so the offensive line are blocking the run play coupled with X slant spacing. And they hit that play over and over and over again, and that's what Doug Peterson did to really tap into what Nick Foles was doing with Chip Kelly and what he felt comfortable with. And I thought Nick Foles had a solid game. So explosive receivers like that, they added Torrey Smith, was also a quick fix for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I would think that's what the Bears are going to do. They want to look for some quick fixes of explosive players in Philadelphia, much like Kansas City had one of the more explosive offenses in the NFL.
Got to take another timeout, but we heard Matt Nagy talk about this earlier with us. It's about making sure that you dictate what the defense has to adjust to, and that's something I don't think we heard during the year. It's when you do something well, make sure you do it well and force the defense to stop it before you have to go to something else. When we come back, what do you guys want in a quarterback's coach? Who's the right guy to help take Mitchell Trubisky? Because that's the guy that's going to be working day in, day out with Trubisky. What kind of a quarterback's coach helps take him to the next level? We'll discuss next with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. You know, one of the cool things about doing Bears All Access is And it's not cool for you if you're stuck in your car right now in traffic, except for the fact that you get to listen to some great football talk. But, you know, there are a lot of former players listening, and they'll text ideas every time during the break. So we've got a whole bunch of names in terms of who potentially would want to be the next quarterbacks coach of the Chicago Bears. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer with you. And, Jim, I'll start with you because you played the position, and you know that not every quarterback's coach is equal. So what kind of a coach? That's essentially the everyday mentor for the young quarterback, especially in this case, Mitchell Trubisky. What do you think, knowing Matt Nagy, knowing Andy Reid, and the way things get done within that framework, what's the right type of a quarterback's coach for Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, I think, Andy Reid's a hard coach. I know everybody thinks of him as a teddy bear, but he knows certain things that he wants out of the position. He's always had tough teams. He's always had tough quarterbacks. When you go back even to the Brett Favre days, to how he molded guys like Donovan McNabb and now what he's doing there for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, that goes for coaches on his staff like a Brad Childress, who's a tough coach. And you know, they're all very good communicators. They know what they need at the position. Obviously, the teaching part of it, you got to be a very good communicator to be to get your point across of what you want executed and how you want it done and the reasons why you want it done. And I think that's why Matt is looking at the guys that he's looking at. You know, Todd Downing's been around. He's worked with a lot of different quarterbacks, whether in Buffalo or obviously with the young Derek Carr. You look at O'Hara from the Houston Texans. He's a former Arena League player as well. Went on to join the Texans staff, Bill O'Brien. Who's known for what? Working with quarterbacks. Shoot, that guy's had to go through four different quarterbacks the past 3 years, I think is what Bill O'Brien has had to do. But like always, great communicator. You want a tough coach that's going to push the player to get the most out of him. I know Mitchell Trubisky is a self-starter, but you want him to reach his maximum potential. And I think that's what Matt Nagy is looking for, the type of coach to get the most out of Mitchell Trubisky.
You know, I don't think we can be narrow-minded and only keep it to the quarterback coach, because I think every single position coach has to positively reinforce the fundamentals that they're learning every single day. And that's one of the things about a position coach that's different than a coordinator or head coach that's calling the offensive plays. Just like Harry Hestead, he's going to have to go to every single one of these offensive linemen, old and veterans to the young guys that have no experience, and just positively reinforce the fundamentals they need out there on an every play basis.
But I like what I'm hearing from Hallis Hall, and I like the way this is being constructed so far. We've got to say goodbye. We'll do it again next week. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Chicago Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and PNC.